It's often said that wisdom may create wealth, but wealth rarely creates wisdom. Hi, I'm Rob West. What's more valuable, wisdom or wealth? Before you answer, consider that wealth is fleeting, but wisdom is never lost. John Cortinas joins us today to talk about why wisdom over wealth is always the right choice. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, I've been looking forward to having John Cortinas back on the program. He's the director of grant making at the McClellan Foundation and the author of True Riches, What Jesus Really Said About Money and Your Heart. John, it's great to have you back.
Good to be with you, Rob. Thanks.
John, you have an article in our new quarterly publication, Faithful Steward, titled Wisdom Over Wealth. And this is actually really an excerpt, if you will, from a study you've been working on for us on the book of Ecclesiastes. So before we dive into this particular article, I'd love for you just to paint a picture of what's coming.
Well, I'm so excited about partnering with you all on this Ecclesiastes study. It's a mysterious book. It's a meaningful book. There's a lot of wisdom in there. And so we've titled this study, Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons from Ecclesiastes on Money. And it has been a joy and transformative for me to get into that book. And I can't wait for people to experience it as well. As you know, God's word always has power.
It sure does. And to your point, this is a book that's often missed, and there's so much in there about the brevity of life and really what it means to find our ultimate treasure in God. And this is one of those deeper dives that we're going to be making available a couple of times a year through studies and devotionals, allowing you to go deeper into God's word and really align your faith with your financial decisions. And there is so much rich material in the book of Ecclesiastes that John has unpacked. And today will just be a taste of that. Now, as I mentioned, you have an article in our first edition of Faithful Steward. It's called Wisdom Over Wealth. And you start, John, by illustrating your message with, I think, just a really powerful story that sets this up. So why don't you share that with us?
Would love to do it. And before I jump into that, Rob, I just want to say that what you guys are putting together in Faithful Steward, I got to see an early edition of that when you were having me check that article I submitted for you guys, and man, it looks awesome. So I can't wait for people to experience that. I think it's going to be fantastic for people who love the topic of faith and finances. So yes, that story you just referenced, this was a real life experience or conversation I had, and I was with somebody who was a part of three siblings, and each of them had a substantial inheritance that they received that was, in today's dollars, about $1 million. And so a lot of money at age 18.
Okay.
And it's amazing. The first one was kind of like a prodigal son story. So really sad. They did not go down the right path, and it was squandered, and they ended up in a very poor position, metaphorically and literally.
Yeah.
The second sibling, there was some mismanagement, but also a little bit more maybe good decision-making as well. And they ended up in a house that at least they had, but the rest of the money kind of went away because expenses exceeded income. And so then here comes the third. And the third child in this family started having lunch with wise, godly leaders in their community and just asking, look, here's my story. Here's what happened to my siblings. I don't want it to happen to me. They actually hired a Christian financial advisor. And I was one of those lunches. And it was such a privilege to talk to this young person who is saying, look, I don't want what's happened to my older siblings to be my story as well. I want to honor God. I want to learn what investing looks like. And ultimately, there's a happy ending for this person because they finished a college degree. They learned about generosity. They learned about investing. And their life is one that is glorifying God today.
And John, I couldn't agree more. I mean, what a picture of this idea that wisdom can generate wealth, but wealth rarely generates wisdom. This really underscores that, doesn't it?
Yeah, if you look at this story, it's three people from the same family, and they all got the same wealth input right as they entered adulthood, and there are three radically different outcomes. And I would argue that the difference was wisdom.
That's exactly right. And we're going to explore this right around the corner. In fact, we'll dive into the book of Ecclesiastes, where we see this idea that wisdom and wealth are both good things, but only one of them can preserve your life. We're talking today with John Cortinez, our friend, frequent contributor, and the director of grant making at the McClelland Foundation. Wisdom over wealth on Faith and Finance today. I'm Rob West, and back with more right around the corner. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
What was I made for? There's a popular song in recent years that asks that question, and it's a good one. Some people live for success, others for comfort, still others for approval in the eyes of the world. But the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 14:8, if we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. For Christ followers, life is not about personal gain, influence, power, or fame, but bringing glory to Jesus Christ. And every breath we take is an opportunity to honor Him through our work, our relationships, even in suffering. It's a truth that changes everything, that you are not your own, you belong to Christ. Grow in your walk with Him through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it
is
a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. What's more valuable, wisdom or wealth? We're talking about that today with our friend John Cortinez. He's director of grant making at the McClelland Foundation, and he's also a frequent contributor here. And his article, Wisdom Over Wealth, is in our first edition of Faithful Steward. You can sign up to be a partner and receive a copy of Faithful Steward each quarter at faithfi.com. Just click give. Now, John, before the break, you told us this story that's actually a true story. You were involved in this, of three siblings that each inherited roughly $1 million in today's dollars. They had three different outcomes. One of them was tragic. Another didn't turn out the way we would have wanted. And yet the third was very God-honoring. And you really suggested that the difference was wisdom. So take us into the book of Ecclesiastes to explore what you witnessed.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah. So if we look at Ecclesiastes 7, 11 and 12, this is what it says. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter, but the advantage of knowledge is this: wisdom preserves those who have it.
Yeah, a powerful truth. I know you've seen that play out time and time again. Now, we're not saying that wealth is bad, right?
Of course not. Yeah, Scripture is clear that God has given us these things for our enjoyment. As Paul says, wisdom and wealth are both good, as we just read in Ecclesiastes, but only one of them preserves our life. And so if we want to have life, wisdom has to be ahead of wealth. If you think about this, when you and I are born, when anybody is born, we're born without any wisdom, but we've got a crib to sleep in and there's people taking care of us. So we've already got some wealth, but we've got no wisdom yet. And we've got to flip that as soon as we can.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I love how you put a couple of charts in this article to demonstrate this interplay between wisdom and wealth. And it's really all about ensuring that wisdom is accelerating faster than wealth. Otherwise, we're going to be in a danger zone, right?
That's right. You know, if you think about over our lifetimes, the traditional path, wealth grows exponentially. There's compound interest. And so we can end up with a good deal of wealth. And yet, if we're not intentional to grow in our wisdom, the wealth is going to run ahead, and that creates risk. But the better way would be to prioritize wisdom, because as we just read in Ecclesiastes 7, that will give us preservation. If wisdom's ahead of wealth, our life can be preserved.
Yeah. And John, this can be pretty pronounced if we receive an inheritance or have a sudden wealth experience. It may not necessarily just play out over our lifetimes. Isn't that true?
That's right. And that's where we can follow the example of the young person whose story we just shared a bit of, where he said, oh my goodness, I have all this money. I need some help. I need to talk to mature believers. I need a Christian financial advisor to help me navigate this and not blow things up.
Yeah. Well, I love that you unpack this idea of obtaining wisdom, because that's the natural next question then. If it's wisdom over wealth, how do I obtain wisdom? What would you share with our audience?
I love that. And the first question I would ask is, what is wisdom? You know, we might think of a list of best practices or some good ideas or a checklist I can follow, but I would submit that wisdom is both a perspective and a person. In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul refers to Jesus as Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God.
Hmm. Yeah, that's right. And so, you know, as we think about those in our life, we obviously need to prioritize wisdom. But I know you've worked with a lot of matriarchs and patriarchs thinking about transferring wisdom to the next generation. You're thinking about that in your own family. What counsel would you give them today around this idea?
You know, absolutely. I think there's so much biblical financial wisdom in Scripture. But again, I would say it's not a checklist. It's not a list of things that I need to do. The question that's first and foremost is, do I know Christ? And to anybody listening, I'd say, have you encountered wisdom himself? He's the power of God and the wisdom of God. We've each got the amazing opportunity to know Jesus and his wisdom through praying, through diligently studying his word. And in doing so, again, hearkening back to that Ecclesiastes passage, he can preserve our life, and he'll redeem our journey with money through his grace.
Yeah. And when it comes to our kids, you know, clearly those who are listening today that are wrestling through this wealth transfer conversation, thinking about passing wisdom before wealth is really paramount. And if you haven't considered it, perhaps this is that time to stop and think about that before you execute your plans. How would you speak into that dilemma that some are facing right now?
You know, this is such a huge question. The great wealth transfer, of course, is talked about in media, popular media, all the time. But man, as believers, we have such an opportunity to open up the conversation earlier. I would just encourage anybody out there thinking about this. I mean, we're trying to talk to our grade school children about this now. And so if we start the conversation about wealth and wisdom and faith and legacy from a young age, wherever you're at today, open up the conversational door. And that will give more time for things to play out. I'd say the way not to do it is make a will, wait for you to die, and hope everybody figures it out.
Yeah.
Let's start the process today.
Yeah, I think the key there is intentionality. Now, John, we mentioned in the first segment that this was one piece, one topic under this bigger study that you're writing for FaithFi right now, and we can't wait to release it on the book of Ecclesiastes. So connect this to the larger theme that you've really pulled out of this amazing book in God's Word.
You know, spending so much time in Ecclesiastes to prepare this, there are two huge themes that jumped out at me. studying all 12 chapters of that book. And the first one is not money, actually. The first one is death. 11 out of the 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes mention death in one way or another. But I would argue that the author of Ecclesiastes and God is communicating to us through this book, not to make us sad as we think about death, but actually to recognize that life is short and he's given us the breath in our lungs today. It's an opportunity to enjoy him, to glorify him, and to seize the moment for his glory. And that actually feeds into the financial wisdom of Ecclesiastes as well. And so realizing life is short, wanting to honor God and fear him and obey his commands with the time we're given on earth, and then trying to manage our money in accordance with that. And we spend these 12 lessons unpacking that in this study that we've put together.
Yeah. John, as we begin to tie a bow on today's message and returning to this idea of wisdom over wealth, what's the big idea that you'd want to leave with our listeners today?
I would just point once again to Jesus. It's all about him. He is the source of wisdom. And so I'm so thankful for what you guys are doing through this, through FaithFi, through Kingdom Advisors, and putting that message out there that when we connect our faith and finances, it actually starts to shape our heart and make us more like Christ. These are not two areas of our life that should be separate. We should bring them together in the short number of days that we've got for the glory of God.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, John, I'm so excited about this new study that's coming out here in the next month or so. It's called Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons from Ecclesiastes on Money. Let's finish today with your hope and prayer for anybody that picks up that study.
I would say recognize that your life is a gift. You've been given a brief moment of life. You can spend it in bitterness, you can spend it complaining, or you can recognize that God has given you a gift, even in the challenges you face. So seek after him and make every day count for the glory of God.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's certainly our objective here on this program every day, to help you see God as your ultimate treasure and money a tool to accomplish his purposes. John, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much, Rob. Great to be with you.
That's John Cortinez, Director of Grant Making at the McClellan Foundation. Back with your questions after this, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back. Stick around.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Hello, my name is Andy Miller, and I'm the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary based in Ridgeland, Mississippi. We are developing trusted leaders for faithful churches, and we do that based in the authority of Scripture and in the reality that Christians can be transformed. We do that also through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. We'd love for you to learn more about Wesley Biblical Seminary at wbs.edu, where we're developing trusted leaders for faithful churches.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often, yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, broadcasting live from NRB. That's the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. We're here on the convention floor and gathering together with thousands of other media professionals from all over the globe, all focused and committed to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to be with so many, using so many different mediums like AFA and AFR to reach people with the gospel, to equip them with a biblical worldview. It's going to be an incredible week. We're delighted to be here. We're also thrilled to be able to not only be in the conversation, but also continue to bring you this broadcast each day. So you'll hear a little background noise as we're right in the middle of the action, but we're looking forward to taking your calls today. Listen, if you have a financial question, we'd love to hear from you at 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. The calls are beginning to come in, but we've got room for you at the moment. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We'd love to tackle your financial question today, see if we can shed some light on the issue or question you're facing. We'll begin to do that here in just a moment. But first, in the news today, many low to moderate income Americans miss out on a valuable tax break for retirement savings, the Savers Credit. This lesser-known credit can offset up to $1,000 per filer, $2,000 for married couples, when contributing to an IRA, 401k, or other retirement plans. If you didn't contribute last year, there's still time. IRA deposits made before April 15th can count toward your 2024 return. Despite its benefits, awareness of the Savers Credit remains low. A Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies found that only half of U.S. workers know about it, with awareness dropping to 44% among households earning under $50,000, the group most likely to qualify. How it works? Well, the Savers Credit provides a dollar-for-dollar reduction of taxes owed, but is non-refundable, meaning it won't provide a benefit if you owe $0 in taxes. For a single or $46,000 for a married couple. The phase-out begins at $38,250 and for a married couple, $76,500. In 2027, this credit will be replaced by a Savers Match under Secure 2.0, which directly depositing funds into retirement accounts, a change experts hope will boost participation. But nevertheless, a great opportunity for you to be aware of if you qualify. By the way, tomorrow Kevin Cross will be with us, our good friend, CPA and accountant, Christ follower, but he'll be bringing you some practical advice as you prepare for your filing for 2024 between now and April the 15th. Kevin will be taking your live questions tomorrow. So if you have tax questions, tomorrow's the day to tune in for sure. All right, let's begin to take those phone calls today. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head to Mississippi. Hi, Sandra. How can I help?
Yes, sir. Nice talking to you. Thank you, Rob, for taking my call.
Yeah.
I've seen the advertisement on Fox News for the investment company YRefi. I believe it's been advertised by Larry Elder and Sebastian Gorka. Do you know anything about this company?
You know, I don't know enough to comment on it. You're probably talking about, is it the private student loan refinancing company? Is that it?
the letter Y and then R-E-F-Y or something else?
Okay, it is that, but I didn't know it was a student financing company. It was just talking about investing, and you can do your own investing yourself, and you can stop your investments, you can draw out, you can do all your own. But I didn't know it was anything to do with student. They don't say anything about that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm most familiar with. They may offer investments as well. Here's the thing. I don't know enough about it to comment on it. I would love for you to check it out, read a bunch of reviews on it. That's probably going to be your best option. I'd hate to weigh in on it without doing my due diligence. I'll ask our team, though, to check it out, maybe do a little bit of research on it, and we can perhaps weigh in on it on a future broadcast. Okay?
Great. Thank you for helping. And if I find out anything, I'll call back.
Please do. I'd love to know more. God bless you, Sandra. Call anytime. We'll be continuing to take your calls and questions here. Calls are coming in quickly. The lines are filling up, and we'll tackle those in just a moment. We've got one remaining, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. You know, we started today by talking about wisdom over wealth. And, you know, this is a topic that we need to think about in terms of, in particular, the next generation. Here's the idea. Is wealth outpacing wisdom? And if so, you're in a danger zone. Now, here's where that happens often. It happens with inheritances. Now, I'm not saying a financial inheritance is bad. It's actually a good thing, so long as the wisdom outpaces the money. But with inheritance, because we have a dramatic increase in wealth, the question is the wisdom there? You know, are they prepared for it? And if not, think about the money as fuel to take them in a direction that perhaps they're already heading. Now, the question is, what direction is that? Is it going to propel them away from the Lord? And if so, that's the last thing we want to do. If they're, financially and spiritually mature and headed in the right direction, well, that money is just going to propel them even further in that direction. The key is, are we preparing them to really be able to handle that money well and wisely? We want to make sure that we're thinking through those issues before we formulate our wealth transfer plans. Now, what trips a lot of people up is they think, well, I've made these wealth transfer plans, and they're final. I can't change them. And the last thing I'd want to do would be to, write somebody out of the will. Keep in mind, these plans will change over time. And so what is right for you to do today as you assess the wisdom that's there for those that would be the inheritors may change 1, 5, 10 years from now, and you can make that change in your wealth transfer plan. A little later in the broadcast, we'll unpack a passage that from Proverbs that I think is often misunderstood. It's Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. We'll talk about that, plus plenty of questions right after this. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
God has entrusted his finances to you.
And we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Gossip. It isn't easy to kick. Who doesn't want the insider info? Who wouldn't want to be the bearer of this week's most exclusive whisper? How then do we bless the name of the Lord when we were just cursing his child? How do we bear his name while we so flippantly defame his very likeness? So put on the full armor of God and let one of us who is without sin throw the first stone. I'm Lauren Bragg, and you can read Gossip and the Gospel on thestand.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Live from the convention floor at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones. Illinois is where we're headed next. Hi, Liz. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay. I'm retired. And I had some money in, my direct deposit from when I was working and a couple of other savings checking accounts. And I had an Empower account with my attorney, which I've moved all of those over to Fidelity, who I'm using now. My guy at Fidelity is recommending, because I'm a low-risk, high-yield, so basically, I would like a savings account at 15% interest, but yeah, that ain't going to happen. So anyway,
if you find that, let me know. I'd have a lot of people interested in that.
Yes, I'm sure. But what he is recommending is a deferred fixed annuity.
Yeah.
And I know that the rate changes until you lock it in. That's what he's trying to do, is lock in the rate, and it's call exempt. And when he quoted it to me, it was at about 5%, and I can withdraw up to 10% every year, and it's a five-year term. So yeah, it's kind of like a CD, it seems like.
Yeah.
But, you know, you say the word annuity, and it's like, oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, I'm not anti-annuity. They're not my first choice, but I do think they have their place. And there are some newer products that are coming out that I like a lot, in the sense that they're very low cost. I mean, you almost have, in some of these cases, the equivalent of what we see with the online banks, where they're providing these fee-free, high-yield savings accounts, and they really do stack the odds in the favor of the investor or banker. And some of these insurance companies that are highly rated, you know, they're stripping out as many of the fees as possible, offering very attractive rates, better than you would get in a CD or even a treasury bill. And, you know, giving you, you know, decent liquidity. To your point, you know, 10% a year is pretty typical. So if you have the ability to kind of sock it away for a period of time, they can give you a nice rate of return. So that's the pro side of this. You've got the guaranteed growth with that fixed interest rate. You've got tax deferral if you want it, where you don't pay the tax until you pull it out. You have the predictable future income, because you can convert it to a guaranteed income stream for life for a set period if you want to. You've got that principal protection, so your investment is not subject to market losses, which is pretty attractive for folks. And there's no contribution limits. You can put in as much as you want. So what's the downside? Well, you do have that limited liquidity up to 10%. If you're comfortable with that, then that one's off the table. You do have inflation risk, you know, in that these fixed rates may not keep up with inflation over time. I mean, if you're talking 5+%, you've got a pretty good likelihood that you will, but you just have to factor that in. And then you've obviously got taxable withdrawals, and it's taxed as ordinary income when it comes out. The biggest risk is just the opportunity cost, meaning, you know, with a little bit of risk managed through a properly diversified portfolio, could you do better? You know, we're recommending typically for even somebody who's 60 that they think about having as much as 50% of their assets still in stocks. Now, maybe they're on the more conservative end, dividend paying stocks that don't have a lot of high flying volatility, but you still have the ability to do a little bit better. You couple that with some treasury bills and, you know, some CDs and maybe some fixed income bonds like corporate bonds, and you could get an overall, you know, average annual rate of return perhaps a little bit better than what you're describing. But with that comes the risk, because you've got market risk now, even though you've got total liquidity and you can, you know, manage it and take a long-term perspective. At the end of the day, there is that risk. So if your primary objective is to transfer that risk away from yourself and the markets to an insurance company, and you can accomplish your goals with that rate of return being offered by this guaranteed fixed annuity, then I could get on board with that, as long as you understand, you know, that you've got liquidity issues and you just need to be comfortable with that. Does that make sense, though?
Yes, it does, very much. And I do appreciate your knowledge, because I knew it's like, well, I can do all this research online, or I can call somebody who will know. So.
Well, that's why we're here. So happy to help, Liz. So listen, I think you need to pray through it. Keep in mind, you know, all of these are not all created equal. And so depending on the, you know, the fine print and the fees and the, you know, withdrawal requirements, I mean, you need to understand what you're getting into. And I'd probably look at two or three of these, you know, before you make your final decision. For instance, there's a new one online that a lot of people are talking about. It's getting high reviews, called Gainbridge. Now, I'm not recommending them. I'm just saying, you know, there are some of these online only companies that are in the annuity space offering very attractive guaranteed rates, but they don't pay all the high commissions. They don't have any brick and mortar operations, so they're able to pass that on the form in the form of higher return. So that would be something to look at once you've decided the annuity is the right choice for you. I appreciate your call today. Call anytime. God bless you, Liz. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Victoria. I understand you have a similar question about annuities. Go ahead.
I do. Thank you for taking my call. And we were approached by an insurance annuity company saying that we could put our money with them. And if they got us into, I understood, insurance annuities, our principal would not be at risk. And if the stock market went down, we would probably not get as much of a dividend. If it went up, we would get a little bit more, but it would be money that we could count on I guess a monthly basis to receive a dividend monthly. I just want to know if this is true and if that's possible.
Yeah, it is absolutely true, in the sense that with an annuity, one of the primary features of a guaranteed annuity is that you are transferring the risk to the insurance company. Now, you want to know that you're with a, you know, a reputable company who is highly rated in terms of their assets and so forth. And there are some protections there if for some reason the insurance company were to fail. But at the end of the day, you know, it is a very safe investment, because as long as you're comfortable with that rate of return and you're comfortable with the potential lack of liquidity, meaning you can only get to your money in let's say, you know, increments of 10% per year over the life of the annuity, or at least for some period of time, then it can be great. What are the alternatives that would be also guaranteed? Well, you know, you could look at a CD, you could look at treasury bonds. You could look at, you know, high yield savings accounts or money markets. You could use municipal bonds. But often annuities will provide a higher guaranteed rate than a CD or a savings account. Now, they lack the FDIC protection, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and they do require a long-term contract, but you're counting on the stability and strength of that insurance company, and you are eliminating, you know, the market risk that you would be taking if you had a stock and bond portfolio. And so I think, you know, that's part of what you need to weigh. But at the end of the day, what they are promising is true, so long as you understand the fees and expenses and the fine print, including how often and how much money you have access to over the life of the annuity. So hopefully that helps to clear some things up for you, Victoria. If you want an advisor to give you a second or a third opinion, head to our website, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional, and any one of those certified Kingdom advisors could be helpful to you. Back with more after this.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're live from NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, media professionals from all over the world dedicated to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ have descended on Dallas, Texas. We're at the beautiful Gaylord Texan. We're broadcasting all week. Many of the American Family Radio programs are broadcasting from the booth here on the convention floor through Thursday. And so we're delighted that you're joining us, continuing to take your calls and questions even as we're here at NRB this week. We have a couple of lines open, room for maybe one or two more folks. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Daniel. Go right ahead, sir.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question. I'm part ownership of a company, and that company pays our health insurance. And I'm about to turn 65, so I'll be having to get off of that insurance. Well, my question was, would a company be able to still pay for my Medicare?
Potentially, yes. What type of corporation is it? Is it an S-Corp or a C-Corp?
LLC.
Okay, but do you know the legal structure? Is it set up as an S-Corp alongside the LLC?
I do not know.
Okay. Does everything flow through to you personally?
Well, as far as what do you mean by that one?
Well, in terms of how you pay tax on it, it probably is an S-Corp. If you're an LLC, generally that would be the case. Here's the bottom line. Medicare premiums, Part B and D, can be reimbursed by the company and deducted as a business expense. It will have to be reported as taxable income to you. And if your business already provides a group health plan, then in that case, Medicare cannot be reimbursed under that plan. So there are some kind of interesting considerations there that you have to make sure you're complying with. There's what's called a Medicare secondary payer rule and just a whole host of other issues. So I would kind of get some counsel on this. I'd consult with a benefit specialist or a CPA just to ensure you're in compliance with all the laws and regulations. But at the end of the day, it is possible. You're going to need to be enrolled in both Medicare A and B, and then the arrangement would be limited, again, to the Part B and the Part D, and it has to be available to all employees at the same time. Now, keep in mind, you don't have to switch to Medicare, and you will not have a penalty so long as you're still covered under the group plan at work. And then once you're no longer covered by that, then you'd have a period of time with which you have to enroll to avoid that penalty. But I would get some counsel just based on the legal structure of your business, how many other employees might be impacted by this, what type of group health plan you have, just to make sure that you understand the best way for the business to go about this, and that you're not doing anything that the IRS would look negatively on.
Okay. The reason I'm changing to it is because I've been diagnosed with cancer, and previous insurance that I have is not really covering everything. And
okay.
That's why we were changing to this, and it's going to be the advance, and it's going to be to take care of all of that coverage. It's, so far right now, having to owe a lot on the treatments.
Got it. Okay. Well, I think the first step for you is to figure out what type of business you have in terms of the ownership structure. So, if your LLC is taxed as a sole proprietorship or a partnership, the LLC cannot pay your Medicare premiums directly as a tax-free benefit. But if you're self-employed and you report business income on Schedule C, then you could deduct your Medicare premiums on your personal tax return, but you can't be eligible for a group plan. And so that would be key there. Now, if it's an S-Corp and you own more than 2% of the LLC, then the company can reimburse your Medicare premiums and deduct them as a business expense. It'll be added to your W-2 income, and then you would deduct the premiums on your personal tax return. So the company gets the deduction, you pay the taxes on the income, and then you deduct it personally. If it's a C-Corp, they can pay your Medicare premiums directly as a tax-free employer benefit if it does so for all employees in a non-discriminatory way. So that would be really great, because they can fully deduct the business expense, and then it doesn't count as income to you. And then there's one other option, which is called a health reimbursement arrangement, and it can reimburse Medicare premiums tax-free if the plan, again, is eligible to all the employees. So I think your next step is to determine what legal structure you have for the business, and that's then going to determine what options are available to you, depending on whether it's sole proprietorship, partnership, S-Corp, C-Corp, or whether you're using the HRA.
Okay, I do pay taxes at the end of the year.
Okay, yeah. Well, in either case, you would. The question is whether it's flowing through to you personally or not, or whether the business is paying the taxes and then just paying you a salary. So I think that's perhaps your next step, is check with your CPA on which structure you all have, and then that will then make it clear what options are available with respect to Medicare.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Absolutely, sir. All the best to you. Thank you for being on the program today. Well, folks, we have covered a lot of ground today. Let's go back to where we started today. You know, we began by talking with John Cortinez about wisdom over wealth, this passage in Ecclesiastes that is so powerful. You know, both wisdom and wealth are good, but only one preserves. And so the idea is we want wisdom to advance faster than wealth. John wrote an article about that in our new magazine, Faithful Steward, and just a really, I think, thoughtful short article, but a big idea. And it does apply in so many cases, but most certainly it applies in the inheritance discussion. You know, we often cite and hear folks cite this passage in Proverbs when it comes to an inheritance. It's Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. And although it seems simple at face value that a financial inheritance is a good thing, good people leave, and I think that is absolutely true, so long as wisdom is outpacing wealth, I think when we take a deeper dive into this passage, we will see that the general truth that it is stating here, when we look at the verses surrounding it, is there's a broader idea, and that is it's contrasting in the verses surrounding it the righteous and the unrighteous. And I think perhaps that helps us to understand an additional or maybe even a primary truth here in this passage of Scripture or section, is that the good man being spoken of is good because he's righteous. And so we can ask then what kind of inheritance a righteous person in Israel during this time would be able to leave to his family. And the one thing that every righteous person could pass along to his family would be wisdom. And he would do this by teaching his family how to worship the giver of the land, Yahweh, how to honor him by not squandering the land through laziness or unrighteousness. If this good and righteous man did this, well, then his descendants would generally be able to hold on to the land of their fathers through righteousness and diligence and character. And I think this way, this was the way of inheritance that was and is still available to every righteous person. This is the type of inheritance that every good and righteous person can pass along to their family, whether that person lives in North Korea or North America now or 1,000 years from now. They can pass the right picture of worship and righteousness and character, which will result in an inheritance that is lasting and worthwhile for generations to come. So don't hear me say that it's a bad thing to pass a financial inheritance. I don't think that's true. But I do think we need to think about wisdom as the primary opportunity that we have to pass to the next generation. And here's what will happen. When we do that, when we pass wisdom first, wisdom over wealth, then the wealth that follows will be handled in a God-honoring way. It will be seen as that resource that then can be used as a tool to advance the gospel and be a blessing to those who receive it. You see, once we feel as if we've determined what the general statement of truth is that's represented in any passage, and that certainly includes here, then I think the rest of the Bible gives us an opportunity to properly understand that verse. And here in Proverbs, among other things, what we're seeing is that, you know, wisdom far outpaces and so many other things are far superior to wealth. And that takes us back to Ecclesiastes, which makes it clear that toiling to leave wealth is another vanity so long as the wisdom is not outpacing it. And I think we just need to heed the general warnings in Scripture around wealth. Is it a bad thing? Absolutely not. It's a good gift from God given to us to enjoy and to provide and to give generously and to invest in a God-honoring way. But let's make sure the righteousness and the wealth, the wisdom is passing in a way that is preeminent, because that's far more important than the wealth, that's for sure. Hey, I hope today's broadcast has been an encouragement to you. We're so grateful to have you along with us today. Again, we're broadcasting all week live from the convention floor here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, gathering with other media professionals from all over the globe, all focused on proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of our broadcasts, our programs broadcast on AFR will be happening from the four here this week, but we'll look forward to having you back tomorrow for another edition of Faith and Finance on AFR. Big thanks to my team today, Isaac and Devin and Sandy and Taylor. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.